The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 27th of October, 2025, and you are on the clock with Junkanoo Green. I just had to do it one more time because my Junkanoo producer is back in studio. I just want to see him cut his eye at me at least once. It's something beautiful about Bahamian men, right? There's two things. When they cut their eye at you and when they smile at you. Right. If you are lucky enough, right, to have a moment with a Bahamian man that in that moment evokes just a genuine smile, right? That just bless your day. You know, big man them don't like to smile up. They gotta be hard because the world is hard, right? They gotta be hard because the pressure is tall. So when they break out and smile, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be in their presence. We got lots to talk about today. Hurricane Melissa, of course, is at the top of the list. Producer, I'm so glad you played that song, right? Because as you were playing that song, I just thought about how... I saw this meme from Jamaica. You know, Jamaicans don't play content creators extraordinaire. How Jamaica dealt with Melissa, or is going to deal with Melissa, right? Because Jamaica run things in the Caribbean. And I just thought, yeah, but the Bahamas same way. We can heel and toe you and spin you right back out into the ocean, Melissa. You can come here. You can have a good time, right? You think you come to spin us around? We can heel and toe you and spin you right back into the ocean. Remember, we can employ levity, humor, jokes to keep our energy up and high as we prepare for the storm. The jokes don't diminish the urgency of the work, right? Or the priority, the dire importance of preparation and doing it properly. But the music, the levity, it strengthens our spirit and our soul. It girds us, steels us, so that we are prepared to face the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen when a storm is traveling. So we know that the Department of Meteorology had an update at, I think, at 6 a.m. this morning. I have a weather report, a Bahamas public forecast. It was posted yesterday evening at 6 p.m. I know that's 12 and 3, 15, 16 hours away from right now. Again, you can go to the Bahamas Department of Meteorology website, or you can go to their page on Facebook to follow all of their forecasts. But you can also, in fact, you must also familiarize yourself with this new, relatively new Bahamian website, getready.gov.bs. Get ready.gov.bs. www.guardianradio96.9fm.bs. On that website right now, on that site right now, there is the 2025 Hurricane Shelter Listing. The 2025 Hurricane Shelter Listing. I was hoping to have that list available for this discussion this morning, but here's what's happening. I was able to download the list from the site last night on my laptop at home, but on this mobile device that I have, every time I click on download now and attempt to download, nothing happens. Now, sometimes, see, when you're building a website, you have to optimize it for every platform you expect it to be accessed on, right? So there may be different code for a laptop versus a desktop versus a tablet versus a mobile device, right? Handheld versus stationary. Anyway, the point is that perhaps this site has not been optimized fully for mobile use, or it could be that my phone is too old. I mean, despite the fact that I got it from the national carrier, it could still be too old, and meaning that you cannot access local websites fully with devices sold by your national carrier. I don't know, maybe it's my device is old. But plenty of us old, plenty of things in this country old. You can't just forget about us. You can't forget about the old devices. You got to be prepared to capture all of us and make it accessible to everybody, because this is a hurricane shelter listing. Okay, so on the list for Hurricane Musa, Department of Meteorology update, everybody should be, again, following, if not the website, their Facebook page for public forecast updates and notifications. DRM Authority had a press briefing yesterday evening, I think at 6 or 6:30. The press briefing, I think, was recorded, and you should be able to go to the DRM, at least the DRM Facebook page for that recording. Evacuation protocols and hurricane shelter lists. Again, the hurricane shelter list can be found at getready.gov.bs. That's getready.gov.bs. Now, when it comes to evacuation protocols, I'm looking at the front of today's Tribune, and the headline says, government considering storm evacuation. Southern and Central Islands on alert over Hurricane Melissa. The government is preparing to possibly evacuate people from the Southern Islands as Hurricane Melissa, a Category 4 storm with maximum sustained winds of 145 miles per hour, moves toward the Southern and Central Islands. Officials yesterday warned that the storm could bring life-threatening flooding, hurricane-force winds, and coastal inundation, particularly affecting Mayaguana, Inagua, Crooked Island, Acklands, Ragged Island, and the Turks and Caicos Islands. An official evacuation order from the Prime Minister may be issued in the next few days, depending on Melissa's path and intensity. Deputy Director of the Bahamas Department of Meteorology, Jeffrey Green, said, a hurricane alert is now in effect for the central and southeast. We go into page two. Bahamas, including Turks and Caicos Islands. The alert covers Exum and its Keys, Long Island, San Salvador, Cat Island, Acklands, Crooked Island, Long Key, Mayaguana, Inagua, and the Turks and Caicos Islands. Residents in those areas should prepare for hurricane or tropical storm conditions beginning late Tuesday or early Wednesday. As Melissa's forecast to move over Jamaica on Tuesday, across southeastern Cuba Tuesday night, and reach the southeast Bahamas on Wednesday. Melissa, currently located several hundred miles southwest of the Bahamas, is moving west at about 5 miles per hour, but is expected to turn north and northeast on Monday and Tuesday. Hurricane force winds extend up to 30 miles from its center, while tropical storm force winds reach 205 miles. Again, tropical storm force winds reach 205 miles from the center. Officials noted that interaction with the regions of Jamaica, Cuba, and Hispaniola may slightly weaken the storm before it reaches Bahamian territory. Minister responsible for disaster risk management, Leon Lundy, urged residents to take preparations seriously. He highlighted the government's full mobilization, including positioning resources, briefing communities, and coordinating with agencies to ensure swift and effective response. He added that the possibility of evacuations is being carefully considered, particularly in the southern islands, and that all decisions will prioritize the protection of lives. Quote, "We are carefully weighing the possibility of evacuations in the southern region as current forecasts make that increasingly likely. Any decision will be made with careful consideration, guided by expert advice and with the single purpose of protecting lives," close quotes, he said yesterday during the press conference. I'm going to continue reading from the article. Director of the Disaster Risk Management Authority, Aaron Sargent, outlined the agency's ongoing efforts, which include monitoring Melissa since October 18th, coordinating with Family Island administrators, and activating emergency support functions. Preparatory work is underway to identify residents who may require evacuation, especially the elderly and those with medical needs. Mr. Sargent also noted that residents are acting proactively with Family Island administrators canvassing homes to determine who may need assistance and coordinating with regional and local partners to ensure safe evacuation. I want to stick a pin right there. I want to just sort of juxtapose what we've read in this article from what we have seen from Jamaica in terms of their storm preparation and evacuation protocols. And then I also want to juxtapose it with the increased presence of U.S. military assets in the Caribbean basin. Have those assets been gathered for the purpose of providing aid, support, and resources for jurisdictions in the region impacted by Hurricane Melissa that is potentially projected to potentially reach Category 5 if it hasn't already, right? Is that why all of those boats are in the region, right? Are we looking at, I mean, the way that Jamaica is there a potential that a large amounts of people will have to be moved from parts of Jamaica by boat? Massive, of course, you know, military asset boat, not the type of skiff that people are blowing out of the water with kinetic weapons. Not that, right? Is that why we see this presence, increased presence of U.S. military assets in the region? I come into you right now, Texter. Thank you for that information. Well, we see what I saw happening in Jamaica yesterday, one particular video, police officers using the megaphone. You know, they have a speaker. You know our police cars, you hear, pull over, get on the side. You hear them say that out loud? Yeah. They use that moving through a particular community to alert residents that an evacuation order, I think, is in place. They identified the shelter that those residents were instructed to go to, right? And they, with great care, they weren't rowing, they were firm. There was there was authority in their voice, but they weren't rowing people. And then I saw a video made by an MP. I think it's in Portmore, Portland, they were on the waters, right? So this is a shore community. And it was a PSA, it was an appeal to people to take the storm seriously, to prepare to evacuate, highlighting that this is the first storm of this intensity in modern history. And I thought, are we going to see the same from our MPs and ministers? Are they going to make calm appeals to their residents with plans? They've also plans. Like, they're telling people what to do. Are our MPs preparing these things? Do we have specific messaging for evacuation routes for specific constituencies? Messaging with shelters, with people who can be easily identified as trustworthy authorities, identifying shelters and constituencies and communities, potential evacuation routes and centers, right? Are we preparing in that way? And then, okay, so let me stick a pin. I got a text here that says, Aaron, I think you may have a really old cell phone or an outdated operating system on your device because I was able to download the hurricane shelter list with ease. Matter of fact, my Grammy just downloaded the shelter list on her bubbler phone she purchased from 2009. That's good. That's very good. I bought this phone from Batelco, and I have Batelco system on it. And it's supposed to update its operating system automatically. Now, the text goes on to say, and I'm not scared of Hurricane Melissa because the U.S. Defense Department will be positioning a war aircraft in the Caribbean Sea to issue a lethal kinetic strike to destroy this storm. Okay. Not to create it, but to destroy it. Which leads me to another question. When was the last time a hurricane formed in the Caribbean region? When was the last time a hurricane formed in the Caribbean region? The Texas said they're not scared of Hurricane Melissa. I don't think any of us should be scared. I mean, we've been in a hurricane zone for forever, right? For someone to be scared, what it means is that you shouldn't be afraid of a storm, but you may be concerned that as an individual with the resources that you one have, that you cannot properly prepare for a storm. See, I'm not afraid of storms. I am deathly concerned that the government has not created sustainable systems to ensure safety in the face of a storm. In fact, let's go to this story that was in the news on Friday. Construction completed on Abaco Shelter. Construction completed on Abaco Shelter, 24th of October, 2025, Nassau Guardian. Construction of the $4.5 million Abaco Hurricane Shelter and Community Center in Marsh Harbor, Abaco, is finally done. The shelter, located in Central Pines, is designed to house approximately 400 to 800 people. That's 3% of Abaco's population. This is the hurricane shelter that construction started for in December 2020. At that time, it was pegged to cost $1.8 million. And now, almost 5 full years later, the construction of the $4.5 million Abaco Hurricane Shelter and Community Center is complete, but it is designed to house approximately 3% of Abaco's population. Officials hope to increase that by 10% in the future. So I don't know if they intend to increase it by 10% of the 3%, right? Or if they intend to increase it to say that By the time we're done, it will be able to accommodate 13% of the population. Construction, ventilation, electricity, and running water are completed aspects of the first phase of the project. Construction is completed on the Abaco shelter. However, when you read further, you're going to read this sentence that says, construction, ventilation, electricity, and running water are completed aspects of the first phase of the project. Completed aspects of the first phase, which suggests to me that the first phase is not complete in its entirety. So, remember when I was telling you that you should not be afraid of a storm, but I can understand why people are deathly concerned that the resources that are required for them to survive a storm are not in place. I'm going to continue reading. Minister of State with Responsibility for Disaster Risk Management, Leon Lundy, said yesterday that the sanctuary is a promise to protect Abaco residents during storms and natural disasters. It's not a promise, sir. It's an obligation. You are obligated to do this. This is not something that comes from your heart. Like how the Prime Minister suggested that he could give a gift of taxpayer dollars to people from his heart. This is an obligation that you have to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and everybody within it. Quote, this Abaco Hurricane Shelter and Community Center is the physical expression of that promise, close quotes. I don't want to read any more commentary from them. I can read some more commentary from them. Quote, in extraordinary hours, it will become a sanctuary, a command post, a beacon of order when the winds rise and the waters push. Close quotes. Remember when I told you all that Mr. Lundy is such an articulate man, it's impressive, but it's also concerning because poetry. Continue from the article. Construction for the shelter started under the administration in December 2020. The original cost was set at $1.8 million. However, that doubled in August 2024 when plans were expanded. See, that's only 3.6 from 1.8. Double it is 3.6 million. You still have another $9 million to talk to us about. The building is roughly 12,000 square feet and... Listen, the building is roughly 12,000 square feet and about 2 feet above sea level. Y'all only managed to build it 2 feet above sea level? Nobody thought after the worst storm we experienced in modern history. Let's go to the phone line, producer. That you would build it maybe more than about 2 feet above sea level? Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, sir.
The Hurricane Melissa, I wouldn't miss her, I wouldn't diss her, and I definitely don't want to kiss her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you would intuitively picked up on the imbecility of the height of the foundation in Abaco and the likes, you know, the Southern Island, I guess, they're very, very much low, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it would have been just common sense to just find elevated areas. I mean, I really don't know how remote they would be because I don't know the topography of all the islands unless I look at a map, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have contour lines. I did geography, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm afraid is that I hope Melissa would give them a lesson because I am afraid. The person say they're not afraid because, you know, I just called my friend in Jamaica. One lives in Grange Hill, which is the extreme west, and one lives in Montego Bay, a place called Bogue Hill.
Mm-hmm.
They are elevated, but they are very concerned about people laying on the flats.
Mm-hmm.
Living on the flats, right? But the thing is, what I've noticed is it was a very frightening scenario in which I saw something like about 800 to 1,000 millimeters, which is about 30 to 40 inches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, which is frightening, you know, and I think DeAndre intuitively picked up that it obviously is 40 inches is 8 inches away from 4 feet, so that's basically higher than some windows. And so I thought they would have realized that, so this would be the lesson now that This is sure that the hurricane shelter is in the building, but she building will be more expensive because the elevation needs to be out. You know, if that was the, I mean, if that was hitting New Providence, I mean, you know, and the fact that another compounding factor is the fact that the hurricane press breaks, it slows down because of the cold front. You know, cold air is heavier than warm air, and so it actually is driven by difference in temperature and pressure. There's no big deal about that. But what I'm saying is we should learn from this that they need to elevate these hurricane shelters, man. It's obvious. You know, 40 inches, what, 25 millimeters is an inch of rain. I could remember something from the metric system. So maybe they should also, because it's dangerous. 30 to 40 inches, first, the scenario was much, but the hurricane grew, and then the diameter of the storm. So I guess all of us will feel it, because I mean, all of Jamaica, I guess it's going to land somewhere, anywhere from Spanish Town to, like, Black River area, Clarendon, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, bless up. Right,
thank
now.
You. And we should spend the rest of our day praying for the people, Jamaica, people of Cuba, the people on the island of Hispaniola, the Dominican Republic, our brothers and sisters in Haiti. Why? Because we're sitting here hoping that the storm's passage over these large land masses with tall terrain will break up the storm and weaken the storm. We're praying that those islands will take the brunt of the storm for our safety. So let us pray. Let us save space all day for the next few days to also pray for those we hope are a part of our salvation. I think that's very important. I got some more texts here. Aaron, have you seen information that says the government is ensuring that drainage cleaning is underway with increased number of water pumping equipment and personnel in place to work 24/7 in the traditional Pinewood Gardens and in the new Pinewood Gardens, a.k.a. Vista Marina, Propol Track, and St. Albans Drive until water is pumped out? I haven't. You know what? I haven't. And surely we would have... Right? We would have spent the time from the last tropical storm, from Imelda, to now working on drainage and other matters. That is not the case. And like, we have an unemployment crisis, you know. Don't mind the people them talking about this unemployment, and then there's those who don't, or we're not counting them, right? Because they're not looking for work. Don't mind all of that foolishness. We have people who need to work, and we have jobs that need to get done. And I don't understand why we can't bring the two together. Here's another text. Good day, Ms. Green. Thanks for proving to us this crazy decision by the DRA man. Okay, the decision may be a little crazy, but hold on. The DRA man isn't crazy. I don't know... I could be honest, I'm sitting here still stunned. What you mean it's only about 2 feet off the ground? And then, I coming back to your text, I know you've not finished. You go on, it says, DRM Managing Director Aaron Sargent, it says above sea level, not even the ground. DRA Managing Director Aaron Sargent, and let's prep the phone line, said, quote, this is one of the higher points in Marsh Harbor, Abaco. So if flooding happens here, then we have another major challenge. We wouldn't even activate this. We would have to evacuate people out of Marsh Harbor, Abaco. Close quotes. Okay, hold on. Back to the quote. Quote, so this is one of the more safer spots for a shelter to be placed. Close quotes. Good morning, caller.
Aaron.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Kind of show open line.
Well, we're talking about the storm right now, but hold on. Oh. After that, we've got that story busted from Eyewitness News that was in yesterday's paper about the Bahamian being arraigned. Somebody recovered 14 high-powered firearms. We have man to be charged with Saunders' murder. We have police in Grand Bahama investigating a double traffic fatality. We have suspect in child abuse video arrested, question mark, question mark. Then we have Clayton Fernanda to serve as Consul General to Toronto.
What do you think about that?
Well, I'm wondering why the FNM leaders said the opposition is unaware of the appointment.
The opposition don't know?
Because I thought this is a constitutional mechanism.
Oh, I thought they have to get approval on certain things.
Right. The opposition at the very least weighs in, just like in the language in the headline, that they weigh in, they're consulted about the appointment, right?
And it wasn't done this time.
Well, that's what the leader of the opposition is saying.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so those were some of the stories that I had on the list.
They do what they want to. That's sad.
But
that's really sad. But, you know, Friday was the funeral day for former Minister Warren Miller, my good friend.
Okay.
And I don't have too much friends.
Condolences.
You need a...
No, that's not why I said condolences. You're right. I don't have much friends.
I didn't hear what you say, good, but, you know, I just want to say, I can't see, right?
Mm-hmm.
To appreciate, like, people who could see, but...
You saw what I saw?
What I hear with my ear?
Hold on. You think somebody saw what I saw?
No. You're going to have to tell me what you saw as soon as I get it to my ear, because I didn't write this down.
Okay, go on.
Okay. I was saying that as a blind person, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't say, please. In my book, he's a soldier. I like everything. I mean, it might be something what wasn't... I don't know. I ain't have nothing to complain about. I just saying thank you to the people who was in charge, the government, the way how they deal with my friend, my brother, from a different mother, you know?
I got you. Yes.
I go on out there with my flit trying to deal with the wasp nest and get bite right up. I never get your call.
Papa.
Hey. I miss it if you call.
No, thank you for reminding me. What you mean you went outside with the flit to deal with the wasp, Papa?
Well, I only tried. Where they bite me on my leg, my calf. I just, when they bite me, I say, thank you. They bite me in my face, in my eyes, in my nose. I say, thank you. And I break off on it, feeling to go back, try to run back inside, get the alcohol and rub it on. But my number's 813-9554. I really won't catch up with the wasp, man, because it seems like it ain't just these couple of spots. This whole area, I don't know if this is a season for them.
Oh, that's what you look at. Look here. You know who we need? We need Garth Rosborough.
But that, you had one different man on.
Don't mind that. You know, remark with
he's deal
with Rosborough?
Huh? He's deal with wasps. I thought he's deal with bees.
But they all... Bees and wasps are cousins.
Mom?
Huh?
I thought wasps and bees was different.
I mean, they are different, but they're still cousins. The point is...
But the bees don't bite like that.
Yes, bees bite.
I know they could bite, but I don't see them like... There's a top. These wasps, they must hit your tree and force. And it's so hot when they bite.
Because they're angry.
Oh.
What we need to do is figure out why the wasp... See, because the bees...
Well,
hold on.
The professional, he might tell me what to do for the future.
Yes, first of all...
It's my fault why they hanging up around you.
No, but it's not your fault why they hanging up around you, but it's your fault why you get bite... What do you mean you're going outside?
You never call.
It's my fault, Papa.
813-9554. Put me on WhatsApp, man, please.
I got you. Yeah, what happened? I got a new number. I had to get a new number.
Oh.
Papa, don't you dare go outside, man.
Yeah, I have to go outside. I can't.
No, I don't mean to go outside. Don't you... Why are you going outside?
The dog. I have to feed the dog and give them water.
But why are you going to deal with the wasp?
I know they spot cakes. I have to treat them just like my children.
No, I agree with you, Papa.
Uh-huh.
I agree with you.
So, LeBron. I didn't even know he was there that day.
LeBron was where?
I didn't say hi. When I asked you...
You mean LeBron? Minis?
Minis.
I feel you.
Tell me... You know, people talk all kinds of things. Say, you want to know that's Aaron's cousin? I said, well, I got to ask for that. Say, that's your cousin.
I hope he's on Hasty Times. I'd love him to be a part of our family. Listen, let me go.
So call me, please.
Yeah, but Papa, don't be messing with wasp by yourself. You brave. Put Papa in the army. I want Papa be in my army, man. This boy brave. Here's a text. Good day, Miss Green. Thanks. Okay, we're going to get back to that text. Obviously, it's close to the song about the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Tell the whole cabinet to go back on a refresher course at Sunday school. There are lessons to be learned from those classes. By looking, I read a book when I was teaching summer camp, when I was a summer camp counselor. Everything I needed to know, I learned in Sunday school and primary school. You ain't wrong there, Texter, at all. Okay, so before we transition to other subjects, there's a weather notice. There was, as of last night, a forecast for the rest of the week. If you look at today's Nassau Guardian, there is a forecast track on the main page. Get today's Guardian, definitely, and it gives us an approximate timeline for the storm. The storm is expected to be approaching the central and southern territories by 2 p.m. Wednesday. 2 p.m. Wednesday. And if it maintains its track, it's going to be turning north-northeast east this afternoon. It's going to start making that turn shortly. Let's hope that it continues to make that turn. Again, the Bahamas Meteorology Department, you can find them. They have a website. Just search Bahamas Meteorology Department or search them on Facebook for regular updates. And remember, just because you don't see rough weather in the sky, it doesn't mean that the ocean is calm. As long as this storm is traveling, check Bahamas. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Check Bahamas Marine Forecast at met.gov.bs. Check the Bahamas Marine Forecast at met.gov.bs for the latest marine warnings. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Yeah, I guess you should pick up on this voice now.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I might be straying you away from your subject, but I want to discuss fisheries and consumers' protection in the sense that just about every restaurant, exclusive or common restaurant you go to in the Bahamas and you ask for grouper, very few of them will give you that Nassau grouper.
Mm-hmm.
They are advertising on it. On their menu, you would, if you go to or just all the major hotels, you know I would know because I've been doing it for 50 years.
Yes, sir.
If you advertising that you're selling grouper, and I ordered grouper from the kitchen, I expect Nassau grouper to come out.
Yep.
But if you go and check, if you're knowledgeable like myself, you most likely will get tilapia or swag or some other fish.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look like we paying the price of like $37 and up to $70 for a piece of grouper on a plate, I think that's robbery. So consumers' protection should get involved in that. I spoke to Agriculture and Fisheries Assistant Director about a week ago, mm-hmm. about it, because right now hardly any of the restaurants are buying the Nassau grouper, and so it putting the fishermen out of business because we have it in abundance.
Yeah, but they're not buying it.
You shouldn't be selling low inferior fish that you can't get no protein and nothing valuable out of for Nassau grouper and charging the high price for it. So let me hear your take on that.
I'd like to thank you for calling. I had a discussion recently about it. We were at a restaurant, and fortunately, I was with some Long Island people, right? Some people who know fish. I know fish, and they knew fish, and so everybody at the table say, no, this is definitely grouper, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been happening for years now. It's been happening easily for 10 years now. And some of the most high-end restaurants with the most high-end prices are on their menu, it says grouper or Nassau grouper. And let's make this point. In 2025, when you say grouper, we all presume Nassau grouper, and you should indicate whether it's not Nassau grouper as a restaurant. That's where I am in my thinking. Right.
Yeah, not only you should indicate that it's not Nassau grouper, but the price
should drop.
When you look at the price in comparison, I can go to a local restaurant in Nassau and buy steam or boiled grouper for $22 or say $30. But you go to these high-end restaurants and you buy in a fish that only costs about $3 a pound, mm-hmm. when you paying like $30 to $50, $70 for 8 ounce.
Yeah.
I think that's bad. I think the Consumers Protection Agency, especially now that we need to encourage more people to fish and eat fish, so they should get involved.
Absolutely. No, I'm down for that. I agree with you. And so I want to give advice to consumers. If you are at a restaurant, you order Nassau Grouper, or you order Grouper and you expect it to be Nassau Grouper, you get it and it doesn't taste like Nassau Grouper. You don't have the same integrity of flesh, right? The same flavor. Here's what I would suggest you do. Take a picture of the meal on the plate. Take a picture of the menu. Take a picture of the receipt. Save a portion of the fish to take out. Right? Seal that container. And then you call Consumer Protection and let them know, hey, I have a sample of fish here. I was sold grouper and I suspect it's not grouper. What do we do next? Right? You do all of that because you got to have something to test. Good morning, caller.
Yes.
Oh, hey, hi. Yes, sir.
Bye.
Yes, sir. Thank you very, very much. I don't like it at all. Because I'm sitting here as a local agriculture and aquaculture vendor wondering why would people eat tilapia and swai in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? When people come here and pay all kind of money to eat any type of fish they could pull out this ocean. Why has our economic whatever figured it out that Bahamians could only afford to eat imported fish in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? These are the ridiculous things. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Miss Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Boy, people famous for selling that toilet bowl fish.
Let's not call it that, right? But
we can call it. I can call it the toilet bowl fish, tilapia. That's what it is, toilet bowl fish.
I'm just saying, why would I eat a freshwater farmed fish in the middle of what's supposed to be the greatest archipelago on the planet? It just makes no sense to me.
You ever had boiled fish before, right? And people put rockfish in it or hawk snapper, and there they feed you boiled fish for grouper.
Now, because I was about to say, don't slander the hogfish boil. Don't slander that.
I ain't slandering the hogfish, but hogfish ain't no way on the line as grouper.
Okay, first of all.
But you tell it for the same price.
It's not. Pause. Okay, here's the next thing. Let me tell you all something. Here's the next thing. Who convinced you that grouper tastes better than hogfish? I know who convinced you. Market forces convinced you of that. And I can tell you why. I want to thank you for calling, caller. We got to do the story about how grouper became the most quote-unquote treasured fish in the Bahamas, despite the fact that it is not the tastiest fish in our ocean. It is not the best tasting fish or the best fish for boiled fish. What grouper is the fish best for tourists. Tourists who don't like bone and they fish because it's meaty and it's white and it's flaky. And we've sold that allure, right? But we export the grouper to the markets who like it more. But because of the price on the grouper, we just presume that it's better than everything else. Grouper is a trash fish. It's a trash fish. Hogfish. Mango snapper. Red snapper. Yellow snapper. Come on, guys. Lionfish. Let me introduce you to a world of joy in your own country. Let's go to the phone line. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You there? Maybe I miss you. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Miss Green.
Hey, you called back because I said group is a trash fish?
We can't side with you on this one because you see lionfish and juju.
Sir, you don't know what you were missing. You could be in the middle of the Bahamas and still have not experienced the best parts of it.
Wow.
Anyway,
wow.
I'm just glad that this is the thing we gotta argue over. You know, we don't need to be arguing over other things. I like us. We could argue over this. But I stand firmly. Grouper's not nearly the best fish in this ocean. Here's the text. Good day. Why are we importing fish? Because the merchant class has captured our imagination. Is one, Aaron, can we discuss the woman who beat her child on video? I think mothers who have mental issues should be either monitored by social services or tied off. Texter, I read it out loud because people need to hear these things. Mothers who have mental issues should have access to mental health services. That's a given. Why do you have to say it with so much venom? Why do you have to say it with so much disgust and disdain for other human beings, Texter? All people who have mental issues should be monitored by a program intended to protect them, not to demean them or to diminish them. Some of y'all hate yourselves and always misplace the blame. We're going to read that story because I think it requires reading, not for the purpose of demeaning or degrading the mother, but for the purpose of ensuring that children can be safe in their own country. But before we go there, let's go to the caller, producer. Let's get these calls in. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
I thought that was something like AI, or, you know, how they do little skits for him in Jamaica, all these people on TikTok and Facebook.
Yeah.
The story with the woman dealing with the little child, I thought I didn't believe that was real. When I started to believe it was real, when she started talking about your daddy.
When you heard the Bahamian accent, right?
Huh?
Yeah, when I heard the Bahamian accent.
I still thought she was arguing because I didn't think they could put that on recording, dealing with your child like that.
Yeah.
An accident or intentionally not knowing, like, go to the bathroom one time, whatever. Now she's dealing with, throw it out. I don't see that. It almost sounds like a stepmommy, but she's saying that's her child. Then I say, you know, when you say mental issue, I think all of us human, you might say not you, right? We have some symptoms that we could turn mentally, that we could trip out quick, easy, not just me, but humans generally.
Yes.
So I think all of us battling some kind of mental issue. But when that woman is saying that to the son, I remember what people say, us daddies and mothers who don't live together, we need to stop mixing our, taking it out on our children. We have issues. We either get over our, when these children go by the other parents, I think we need to relax ourselves as long as we pray that they be safe and they come back home. When they come back home, you deal with the issue. You teach him how to don't mess up in his pants or whatever. I don't even know how old the child was. It didn't sound real, but all us have little issues. And I don't know if the punishment, I say help him more than arresting him and locking him up. Keep up a good way.
Absolutely. There has to be a balance, right? Because what we know is that children will always develop better. They want to be with their parents. They want to be with their family. Healthiest development is when they can be in a healthy family unit, right? So we never aim to take the kids away from the parents. What we try to do is we try to heal and fix the parents so that the family unit could be healthy, right? But what we saw in that video requires intervention, without a doubt. The woman has issues. The child, it's not the place of the child to reconcile with their parents' trauma. It's not the place of the child to have that type of empathy. They're a child. So what we saw in that video is absolutely unacceptable. I even for a moment questioned why the person filming didn't step in sooner. But then we hear the person saying, I'm documenting it. I have you, right? I need... What I inferred was I have tried to bring this to the police's attention before. I am trying to capture proof, evidence, so that they will believe me and take me seriously. This matter needs to be dealt with for the sake of the child. Do we need, should we employ grace for the mother? Yes, but not at the sake of the child, right? That should not take anything from what the child requires. I'm going to read. So I found this online. It reads like a press statement, but I couldn't find a source for the press statement. I found it in a local group online, where the video went viral. And so it says, the police have arrested a female in connection with the video that went viral of the female abusing a child in front of the child's father while he documented the incident. Police also questioned the father, who explained that he made the short video to have as proof, as many of his complaints about the mother has fell on deaf ears, as he has had no evidence of his claims in the past. The father said that he stopped the recording to rescue the child from its mother's abuse. We are all out of time. Here's a text. It says, best tasting fish, barracuda, hogfish, denser than red snapper. Red snapper denser than grouper. It is based on taste, not hype. If y'all ain't never had a, what they call it, a schoolmaster, a dog snapper, or a mango fin snapper, if you ain't never had that, you ain't living. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all the texts. Texas said, I prefer hogfish over grouper every day. Ah, boy. Listen, we need to take care of each other. The storm is approaching. You got to practice empathy, God's grace, and forgiveness. Let's take care of each other. Y'all stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
Try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com. and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.